No. You got nothing.
No. Show-wise. Show-wise, we should, I don't know, do like make some notes and then do the show, is what I...
Okay. That's what the agenda is?
The strategy normally is think up a bunch of stuff to say.
Yeah.
Hit record and then say it in order.
Okay, and make it good.
Yeah, this week we're going to go a whole different direction.
Okay.
We're going to make it bad.
Okay.
Awful. Well,
I feel like we've been going in that direction.
Really?
Yeah. I was hoping this week would be good.
Oh. Okay. Hello and welcome to episode 263 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is Captain Psy.
Adam. I was just trying to get my throat clear.
Oh, you're still dealing with it.
Well, I'm 96%.
All right. Great. We don't care.
Well, no, that's why the sigh. I was just getting a little bit of phlegm. A little phlegm out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, doctor.
You're welcome.
what is going on? Amazon is what's going on. Now, you bought some stuff.
I bought a CF card.
Kfuh. The technical term is kfuh card.
I haven't gotten it yet.
Okay. Now, you bought a CF card for what?
For the 5D Classic, because it takes CF cards.
Uh-huh.
But the 60D does not. I've been shooting with small CF cards.
How small?
Very small. 2 gigs, which, it's a 12 megapixel camera, so it's not mm-hmm. the worst thing in the world, but I think it gives you about 150 pics on RAW using full res. So, that's fine, but I can sometimes be out for a while, and 150 pictures might not get the job done.
No.
So,
like, if you're Leo in The Revenant and you're stuck out there after getting eaten by a bear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a spoiler. That's a big spoiler.
I'm pretty sure it's in the trailer. I haven't seen the movie yet.
Neither have I.
How could I spoil it if I haven't seen it?
Okay. All right.
I'm probably not going to see it. Spoiler. That's the spoiler alert. I'm not going to see
You're not seeing it.
But if you're out there, you get eaten by a bear, and you're out in the wilderness for six to 8 months, you're going to want a bigger card. 2 gigs not going to do it for you.
Exactly.
So what'd you get?
I ordered a 32.
What?
I was going to get a 16, but there was almost no price difference because it seems like 16s have kind of disappeared because most people aren't buying the CF cards for the 5D Mark I anymore. They're buying it for the 5D III or for video work or whatever. And so the 8s and the 4s and all of them are almost entirely obsolete, which makes them surprisingly expensive. I thought it would go the other way, and I thought they would be like giving them away, and I thought I'd buy a couple of 8s.
Right.
Nope. There's, again, almost no price difference between an 8. In some cases, the 8s are more expensive, and so I went with a 32, just figuring, okay, 32 gigabyte CF card on that 5D, I can shoot for a month.
What is the 32 gigabyte CF card, kfuh card cost?
On Amazon, I think it was right around high 50s, something like that.
That is nothing. That is free.
55, 60 bucks. Again, and the same card at my local retailer is closer to 100 bucks. So
right.
So
right.
I was Amazon was a no brainer for this one. It was not. It wasn't even close. So
geez, I might be in the market because a couple of years ago I picked up a couple of at the time 60 big ones, 16 gig cards.
Right.
But they're reasonably fast too. Like you can't buy if you want to shoot video, you can't be buying the bottom of the barrel, low end, low speed ones,
right?
Because you're going to get a lot of buffer errors. It's going to be an issue. So you don't need the crazy fast ones either, but decent ones, right?
Yeah, I got the higher end SanDisk one too for that price, because what I found was the mid range ones, again, the write speeds were half as fast and the price was no different. So right. for an extra $1 or something ridiculous between the sort of moderately speeded and the fast speed one, even though I don't need that for the 5D1, I just thought at some point there might be a different camera I'm using that requires a CF. Might as well have a fast card that I can use. So I think this one was, 120 megabytes per second write speed, something like mm-hmm. that. So
you're not going to miss that dollar.
No, exactly. I just thought, hey, yeah, this will be good for a few years, regardless of what device I use it in.
You can never have too many cards. That's what I find. Now, what do you do? How do you keep your cards? What do you keep them in?
I have these. I mean, they came when I got my camera. The guy that I bought the camera from on Craigslist had a few cards, and they're all SanDisk cards, and they had these kind of little mini card wallet things, but not in the same way that you talked about a card wallet, which was like, you know, a way to store like 10 or 12 or 15. They basically store two. And so it's right. like a little foamy pouch thing, and it's got little sleeves in it, and for two at a time. So I have a couple of them, enough for all my cards. And they're quite nice. They have a little key ring on them too, so you could key ring them to something. But yeah, mm-hmm. they're just like little mini wallets, I'd call them.
I do have the 10 or the 12. I don't even know what it is, and I forget the name of it. That's how helpful I am this week. But I was shocked at how much I liked it. Like okay. I thought, all right, you know what? Like Chris Marquardt recommended it to me. He's like, yo, you got to get this. And I thought, do I have to get it? Like, is the government going to step in and kick me out of Germany if I don't get it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the level? And he said, surprisingly, yes. Yes, they might.
Mm.
And so I got it, and I love it. I'm surprised at how it is unbelievable how easy it makes my life. If you have 10 or 12 cards, which I do.
Right.
Because I don't have any SD card. I have one SD card that runs in my my Zoom H4n audio recorder. But other than that, every camera I shoot with is a CF.
Okay.
So plenty of them. So there you go. So you order that on Amazon. We ordered some stuff.
Okay.
Want to hear it?
Sure.
My father-in-law, he's got the one of those MacBook Airs you've heard about.
Yes.
But he's had it for a little while, so it's an older one. And they have the relatively small hard drives built in. No, it's not even hard drives. They're flash, right? But the built-in storage.
Right.
And you know, they're not really made to be your primary computer. For him, it's his primary computer. So he's got a lot of stuff on there. It's only like a 64 gig internal storage.
Okay.
So he's always just jamming. He always has between 5 and 8, you know, megabytes available on his drive. So he's, you know, he wants to know what can he do. And I didn't know. I thought, well, you know, migrate your stuff to the cloud, obviously. That's one way to go about it. But he needs it, you know, offline.
Okay.
So it turns out they sell these little USB sticks, like 64 gigabytes, and you get them in 128 that are very low profile. Like, they're so low profile, they're apparently physically hard to remove from the USB slot.
Wow.
Like, so the bulk of it is basically inside the computer.
Okay.
So we bought him one of those to just, basically that's going to be his second hard drive. It's just going to be the USB 3 dongle. It's not even a dongle, because it sticks out like a couple mils only.
Wow.
So that's great. I mean, what a great way. And it's like $18. It's not even like it was expensive.
Okay.
So got one of those. And then something that has nothing to do with any of that, but it is wicked cool. Do you know what raclette is?
No.
No reason you should. This is kind of like the Swiss thing. Like, after you go skiing, you come back and you make it for dinner, and it's like fondue, but cool.
Okay.
Except nothing to do with fondue. It's just that you all sit around and cook your own. It's like having your own sort of, I don't even know what it's like. It's like having your own, what do you call that place where they cook the food in front of you?
Oh, yeah.
Your kitchen?
Yeah, no, I'm drawing a blank. I know the place you're talking about where it's like a giant grill thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mongoli grill,
yeah,
for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's called something. It's probably some Japanese name in America there. Anyways, so like, it's a little thing like that. It's a little grill that sits on the table that you plug in. It's a fire hazard, of course.
Yeah.
And then, but inside, too, there's actually underneath the grill is a little oven, like a little burner, so you can you make these little trays of different kinds of vegetables and meat and stuff, and put it in there and bake your own little thing after skiing. It's what you do with cheese and stuff. It's a good time.
Okay.
Didn't get that. What we did get, though...
That's a big lead up.
Yeah, no, but we got something like that. Friends of ours had a little deal like that, but it's like a little mini wok set, which is, it's got you put the same sort of thing down, but it's got six individual, like, burners.
Yeah.
And you get six little mini woks, like you could hold them in your hand, essentially.
Okay.
And so you just sort of chop up you got all the vegetables on the table, and you just kind of do it yourself, and it's a social thing, and you'd make your own little Asian wok stuff and sit at the table and hang out.
Okay.
And we loved it, so we got one of those on Amazon.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Nowhere to plug the USB stick into it, unfortunately.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Couldn't find it. So okay. There you go. But what point is, once we get it set up, it just arrived today. I will take a photo of it and post it, because it is pretty fun.
Okay. I am really looking forward to that.
Well, when you and the wife come here.
Yeah.
At some point in the next year or two, I'm sure Sarah could just look after Jack for a week, right?
Yeah, but I'm sure she could, yeah.
And the two of you.
She's responsible.
Yeah. So you make some, cut up some vegetables before you leave.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's your mini wok set. Don't burn yourselves. And you're good to go. School's that way. You know where school is.
Yeah, they know where school is. We'll even leave the keys for... They can take one of the cars.
I see no problem with that.
it's close.
Right. Anyways, there you go. So what's going on, Adam, besides Amazon?
Nope, that's it. Amazon, that's all that's going on. No, I'm gonna attempt... I don't know if we talked about this last week or not, but I think we did. Yeah, we did. We talked about I'm going to do Project Green Screen this weekend for my kids' hockey team. So I'm going to try to do that this weekend. There's a game, and I'm going to try to do that. There's quite a few kids, so I want to say maybe 15 kids on the team. So not exactly sure whether I'm going to go one at a time or whether I'm going to go twos or what I want to do, but... We'll sort of cross that one. I think it might be easier, and they might be more focused going one at a time. I think it might get a little silly, and I might actually end up, instead of a time-saving approach by shooting twos or threes, I think it actually might take longer, so I might just go one at a time and then have all the separate photos, and I can kind of move them around as I so choose.
Mm-hmm.
And my son's going to be a goalie this week, and so he's getting another crack at goal, so he'll be in the goalie gear for the team photo, which I'm sure he'll like. He'll like that.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. He'll stand out. What you should do is make sure when you put them all together, make sure that your son is A, prominent in the photo, but also just that his head is at least 40% larger than the other kids.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And just leave one kid out. You shoot him, but you just don't put him in.
Well, I'll put him sort of half cut off on the side. You can see his ear or something.
Yeah, he's mostly in behind. Yeah, and he's super small.
Or maybe his arm, so you can see the number. So if someone says, hey, my kid's not in there. No, right there. Number 14, they're right there.
No. Just leave him out entirely. And when someone says, hey, you know, hey, where's Bobby? Oh, yeah, his didn't work out. Yeah. He's too ugly to be in this photo.
Yeah.
You're going to want to... Yeah, is he okay? That's what you should say.
I want to do something about his face.
You're going to... Yeah. We'll take his again, but leave the mask on. Okay? Yeah. Hey, can he borrow Jacques Plante's old mask? All right. 20 more minutes on this, and then we stop.
It would be funny, though, if I just left one kid's helmet on.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Just for no reason.
Yeah.
Good times. I heard some news last night.
Okay.
That will affect you in no way, probably. And me, very little, actually, too.
Okay.
Netflix has decided to ban people using VPNs.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not thrilled about that.
That'll affect me a little bit, just because I use the American Netflix through the VPN.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Not all the time, but occasionally, if there's content that I... can't access. Is that an immediate thing, or is that upcoming?
I'm told it's the next week or so.
Really? So it'll just shut you down?
I don't really know. I don't know if they're going to basically ban you or what they're going to do, because up until now they've been pretty good about it. They evidently they don't really care.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are paying this? You are paying a subscription.
Yeah, Netflix, like I don't blame Netflix at all. I mean, that's kind of been the backlash. Like, well, forget it, Netflix. I'm going to cancel. It's not Netflix doing this. It's the studios who are dinosaurs, and they do not seem to understand what's going on with the whole internet. Like, they are very slow to react and to adapt to the whole new frontier that we call the internet.
Right.
Which is ridiculous because it's been around for a while now. I mean, like, the internet as we know it, high-speed internet, meaning like cable, like even like a 1.5 megabits or whatever, that's been around for at least 20 years.
Okay.
Yay? Nay?
Sure. I mean, I don't know this stuff.
Probably coming up on 20 years when it's becoming a thing for people to get. Like, people started getting it in their homes on a mass scale. It would be coming up on 20 years. So it's not like the internet is brand new.
Right.
So I feel like the studios should be reacting a little bit better and understanding what's going on here. But I'm a little sour because I do bounce around the different Netflix, you know, like the UK one or something like that, and they'll have some stuff that I want to check out. On the other hand, maybe I don't need to spend that much time in front of the Netflix.
Mm-hmm. That's another way to look at it.
Yeah. So I wasn't too angry, and ultimately what Netflix is trying to do, they're trying to basically dominate the global market, and they would like to license all content for all countries. That's what they would like to do.
See, that would be great. Then we wouldn't need to do this.
No, and you shouldn't need to. That's what I'm saying. Is back in the old days, the way you would roll a movie out. A movie would be in the theaters and then on DVD in North America before it was in the theaters in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, they had the zones, so you couldn't go to New York on vacation, bring back Pulp Fiction, and then play it in DVD players in Europe because it was just coming out.
Right.
They didn't want that. That's why they did all that. And so now that's why we have different markets and there's different licensing deals and blah, 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 a bunch of boring stuff. But I think Netflix is aiming to change that. And with their original content, which is awesome, like, I love their Netflix original content.
Mm-hmm.
And that plays in every country. So they are ahead of the curve on this whole global licensing thing. So if you are listening and you are upset at the VPN ban, don't focus your anger at Netflix.
Right.
Don't focus your anger at all. Just, you know,
just other stuff. Blind rage. Don't worry about it being specific.
Well, or, you know, go buy a book and go for a walk, something like that. But
okay.
That's what I do recommend. But I was a little surprised because they've been talking for like a year and a bit that they'd block it and they didn't want to.
Right.
Because a number of people are using it based on the American Netflix. You know, a bunch of subscribers are doing it solely for that purpose.
Right.
Okay. Photography, that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah.
Did you shoot anything interesting?
No, I didn't.
I'm begging to pull something out that's interesting, but I don't know. I'm in a bit of a funk. I don't know. I don't know if it's the weather, if it's just the time of the year, or my kids are boring. I don't know.
Combination.
Probably.
Yeah.
We went for a little walk in the woods the other day, which was kind of fun. So I brought the camera for that, but didn't snap a whole lot of photos. Shot a couple. I'll post one just to show that I still own a camera.
Mm-hmm.
It snowed here today.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep, so I'm thinking the snow is going to snap me out of it. In fact, that's kind of what we're going to talk about later. Today's topic is going to be sort of to do with the snow a little bit.
Okay, that sounds like an amazing topic.
I really painted a word picture.
Sort of to do with the snow a little bit. That's a good title for this episode.
A little
wordy.
I think
it writes itself.
A little wordy. Yeah, you can see exactly where we're going.
Okay.
So I went and shot in the snow a little bit today. It was the first snow of the year, so you know how, like, well, this is how it happens in Vancouver a lot, too. Like, it'll be kind of warm and wet, and then it snows, and so it basically just snows on top of mud, and then your kids come in soaking wet and covered in mud.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that fun to shoot in.
Right.
So hopefully it's going to cool down and get some real snow, and we'll get to go sledding and have fun like that. All right. Why didn't you shoot anything interesting?
Well, I mean, I figured we'd talk about it when we got to the photo challenge.
Okay.
But it was as much as going to the park, and that was my interesting.
Okay.
But good light at the park equals, you know, you get some nice photos.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's interesting, right?
It will be.
Okay.
Once I add the interesting filter to this episode.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Can you turn it up to high?
Oh, yeah. It's shift apple I, and then you hit like a plus 10.
Okay.
Yeah. Go all the way up there. All right. This week's challenge was omission based on last week. We talked a little bit about the Making a Murderer. Did you finish the documentary yet?
I've finished 9. I have 1 left, which I guess is the episode where they kind of like talk about them years later and the family and stuff. So I haven't got to that. I will hopefully get to it tonight. But
yes.
Yeah, I've watched 9 of 10. So I know basically how the story, essentially the story concludes, but I haven't watched. Guess mostly through spoilers in the media, you almost can't avoid it.
No.
So the trials part is all finished. So now I just have to get to that last
episode. Do know the result?
The result of the trials, yeah.
You do know. Okay, so, but I'll let you know that if you're watching the show, the episode, as best they try to do to make it seem like it could go either way, I feel like I saw it going that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it wasn't like a tremendous cliffhanger, like, you know, or a shocker, like, oh my goodness, can you believe that happened? A little bit, but, you know, whatever. So hopefully that's not a spoiler for other people, but you're right. It is everywhere in the media.
Yeah. I was really close to making it through without knowing. And then I think it was on episode 7 or 8. And then I, you know, caught something on the news that was like, ah, darn it.
Yes. Yeah. That'll happen.
Yeah.
However, so tomorrow or 2 days ago when you're listening to this on Saturday, the crew at Corolla Digital are having Dean Strang,
one of the defense lawyers.
Yeah, the defense lawyer is being interviewed on the show. So I was talking to Gary about that, and he said it's awesome.
Yeah, I might have to check it out because I did really enjoy it, and I mean I'm pretty sure I know how the direction of the interview is going to go, mm-hmm. but I still likely will tune in to catch that.
Well, it's funny because, you know, Adam Carolla still refuses to watch the show.
Yeah.
So he's still going to do the interview, but he's like, yeah, I got the beats from my wife. Good enough.
Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, we talked a little bit about that and how omission, and I think you and I will talk off the air in case anyone doesn't know the full story yet. I don't want to ruin it for them. But there was, there was things that were purposely omitted from that show to shape the narrative that we see. And so that was the challenge this week, was to go ahead and do that. So I think we'll start with mine just for the heck of it, because we don't ever do that anymore.
Yeah.
So here's Baseball Guy. That's my go-to one.
Okay.
So that's Felix. He called me the other day. He wanted to go, hey coach, can we go hit in the cage? I want to go hit in the cage and you know, work out. We didn't have practice. He just wants to go and hit some balls.
Yeah.
And since A, I'm the coach, and B, I have the key, I have to be there.
Right.
And so I said, hey, great. And then, by the way, today's picture day. I need a picture for the photo challenge.
Okay.
So this was it. So this was him in the locker room.
Gotcha.
The end. Okay.
Okay, so I saw this picture. I have nothing against the photo. Perfectly fine photo. Mm-hmm. I just didn't really see how this was an example of what we were talking about. Clearly, there's omission of some elements of the photo. Like when you show the wide shot, like clearly mm-hmm. you're omitting stuff when you shoot the close-up. But it seems like this is like any lighting situation when you're lighting a photo. Of course, you're not going to shoot what's behind the light stand, and you're not going to shoot all the other, like this.
Okay, so, yeah, I understand
so that. So that was kind of my thought. I was like, oh, okay, well, this is like any lighting setup shot, and then, of course, the lit shot. So I didn't really see it going that way. Now,
okay, well, let me explain that. Before you go any further, let me explain that, because you are in that respect, you are correct.
Okay.
However, the point of this is, why I set it up where I did.
Okay.
You know, obviously I can't shoot in any other direction. The lights go where they are because that's where they can fit. And I'm not going to shoot him against the empty bottles. I'm not going to shoot him against the vending machine or all the nonsense. What I have to do is basically, before I put the lights up, I go and place him exactly where I want so that I can omit all the nonsense that is around.
Okay.
Then the lights. So this was like, the lights are irrelevant. The lights are just there so I can show you where they were and actually light up the scene, as it were.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. All right.
But, I mean, objectively, if you look at the photo of him and then look at all the crap that's kicking around him, you wouldn't have guessed that in the actual shot.
Definitely not. No.
Right. So that was my point on that one, and so
okay, all right, fair enough. That's good. I like the explanation. My only beef with the actual photo is the bat placement.
Yes,
I don't love where that bat goes, and
where would you put it?
I think I would just slightly change the angle so that it was more. And it might look slightly wrong based on the angle of everything else you've got, but I just would like to see more of that bat angled. I guess I'm trying to describe what the angle would be, but I think you know it can only go in one direction,
like away from him. You mean?
Yeah, just slightly, so you could see more of that bat in the picture itself, or maybe that.
Well,
means
no, I was omitting the bat.
You didn't want the bat? The bat's front and center in this picture.
No, I'm only joking. I didn't omit the bat.
Yeah, and that's it. And then again, and part of the placement with it makes for the bat kind of getting blending in with his shirt too. So I just thought, okay, there's something, the photo, the lighting on his face, everything else on the locker I like the spray of that. I like his arms. I like the fact that the hawk sticks out on his shirt. Just that the bat doesn't seem quite right for me. That's my only beef, yeah.
I feel like it's not as a big a sticking point for me because it's you figure out the bat. It's not right in your face, like blam, here's the bat. But you know, by the time you're done looking at this photo, you're not confused. Yeah. Like what is he doing there? Is he going swimming?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree, but it's one of those things that and this is what I've run into over the years, is I actually don't know how to shoot baseball players in poses that look natural. Like, you want to see if it's a pitcher, you want to see their glove.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, a hitter, you want to see the bat, and it's tough to make them do it and actually see enough of the bat and look like a thing.
Yeah, I think in this situation, it's probably because of the lockers and everything else, it's probably a photo more suited to him not looking at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think there's a better shot here where he's, you know, getting ready, or it's the jersey just went on or whatever it is. But I don't think it's this pose in this environment.
It's too artificial.
Yeah, I think it's definitely him not looking at the camera, because we're looking at locker room getting ready to play baseball. It shouldn't be, you know, back against the lockers with the bat on the shoulder. This is never happening. This will never happen in reality, right? Like, this is quite obviously a very specific staged, hey, I'm a baseball player shot.
It is. And I would like to have him sitting there maybe lacing up his, like, ideally I'd have him in a real locker room lacing up his cleats. But as you can see in the wide shot, he's sitting on an empty beer keg.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only reason he's sitting is because, Felix is a tall drink of water. And so he gets up too high. Like, his head gets up kind of at or above the vents of the locker.
Right.
So I can't get a decent angle and then not include those plastic bins above the lockers without pulling them all down. And I'm not pulling them all down because I think there's spiders up there.
Okay.
And so I had him sit down just so I could get a decent angle on him.
Yeah, and then as a result, like you say, with what you had to work with and all the omissions that you made, you end up with, again, a pretty good photo.
Well, I'm glad you like it, because I actually made this into a calendar for you, and this picture is all 12 months.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. Hey, you can thank Vistaprint there.
Okay, all right.
I even made just spare. That's how I did it. All right, let's have a look at your photo. Now, which one are you going with? Is it
just the whatever the one is marked with the first one?
The swing.
The swing, yeah.
There he is riding the swing like he doesn't know what a swing is.
My kids were doing that thing where they were spinning around, like, you know, they wind up the swing and they spin around 1,000 mm-hmm. times. And so the wide shot first shows that kind of what the environment was we were looking at. So we're at a park where you can see, you know, condos in the background. You can see people all over the place. Mm-hmm. You can see, you know, it's both my kids and, you know, just it's not a very attractive looking area that I'm working in here. And then cut to, I decided that the narrative was going to be, okay, I'm going to make this about singular, one kid. And the reason I said that is because I wanted to really avoid as many of the distracting things in the background as I could. So, and it also had to do with where the light was falling, and, you know, the light looked really good. It was a time of day where it's coming through some trees and coming through some playground equipment. So you get these neat kind of slashes of light. And at one point I saw it clearly kind of landing on my son and lighting up his face. So I thought, all right, let's make it about him and about, you know, almost an isolated shot. So looking at the close-up, there's him. He was doing the spin-around thing, so all I had to do was sort of yell, "Hey, Jack, over here!" And then he looked, and because he was having the time of his life, this is a pure and natural smile, which you don't get when you ask him to pose for a picture. You get a very forced, kind of almost like he's got to go to the bathroom smile. Mm-hmm. So this was pure. He had been spinning around, and he just happened to turn and look, and then I isolated him. Using, you know, a little bit of a shallower depth of field and then just finding an angle where I didn't have to get any people in the background, didn't have to deal with the condos or anything else. And love the light, love just how the light falls on his face in this picture. It's like you can't ever reproduce that light with soft boxes or with flash. So it's brilliant when you get the right light at the right time, and just how you see the light on the ground, even the light on the ground and how it's mixing some gold with some bluey light tones on that ground, to me is just, I mean, I love it. I just, you rarely find it.
Yes. And he's wearing a sweatshirt in January. That's kind of nice.
Yeah. It was a pretty nice day for sure. Yeah. It was cold, but it was clear. And when you were in the sun, it was great. This is approaching a time where they started to sort of say, all right, we're getting cold here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. And is that Sarah in the wide shot?
It is indeed Sarah in the wide shot. Yeah.
And it looks like somebody you cast to play Sarah. Like, it looks like her, but not quite.
Yeah. And I had a number of pictures of her isolated as well, but I preferred just where the light was in this particular shot. And I felt like, okay, I'm not saying by any means this is the greatest picture in the world. I really do like the light. And I thought it was a very good example of just how much, like in one shot, a bunch of emitting stuff. And again, based on your angle, based on your depth of field, like mm-hmm. those two shots are taking, you know, seconds apart or a minute apart, maybe, because I waited for people to kind of get away from the background. But how much different that these two shots are.
Yes.
From exactly the same standing position.
Yeah. Great example of that. Now, look at your other ones. Also a great example, though.
And the other one I might like the picture of him better, but there's less, I mean, there's less
joy
going on. There's less omission going on. That's kind of why I decided, but maybe not. I don't know.
There's a lot being left out.
There's a lot being left out. So I show the wide shot of kind of where we were. There's like a water park next to this park, which mm-hmm. obviously isn't running for the winter time. But there's stuff in there that he likes to go and climb and swing on and stuff. So he likes to use this little spot where there's the four rainbow-colored bars as monkey bars. So he'll go back and forth across them. And so I took the shot of, okay, here's where we were. This is where I was standing. And then I was using the 70-200 lens. And then I caught him where he was standing holding the bars. And I thought, all right, well, there's a good shot here if I basically get rid of all the background and then just use the bars as sort of, you know, just a neat kind of foreground, and took the shot as he just kind of held on and turned towards me. And that's what you get. Again, nice light. I like how mm-hmm. it sort of comes across his face, and yeah, just some nice colors. And you kind of forget about all the ugly, distracting background because you kind of, you know, drain it out with your depth of field.
Now compare this shot here. Like you talk about this shot. This one's not going on your wall.
No.
And it's a fine shot. But you compare this, if you'd shot this 5 years ago,
probably go on the wall.
It'd be in your hallway.
Yeah.
It'd be front and center. It'd be handing them out for Christmas cards.
Yeah.
But that's the point. You are at the place where people, that's where you want to get to. If you're not already there, you want to get there where you're shooting this all the time. Like, this is a throwaway, but when you go to shoot it, you didn't sit down and go, okay, look around. Let me get rid of that whale.
Yeah.
All right. The bench in the background. Don't need to see that.
Right.
And then half an hour later, you snap a shot. No, it's automatic at this point.
Yes.
Which is, all right, boom, I want him. I'm eliminate everything else. And how am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to zoom in. I'm going to move in. Maybe, maybe not in this
change
case.
Change my angles.
Change the angle a bit. I'm going to, go to F4 as wide as I can on the 70 to 200. And that's what I'm going to do. But all those things happen just like that.
Yeah. And that's what I found about this challenge is all the while I was at the park, we were at the park probably playing there for an hour, and both kids were playing in different lighting situations. And I probably had, I was choosing between 8 different examples. I posted these 2, but that's kind of what's always going on. So this was kind of a challenge to me that was quite nice, because this is what we're doing all the time. We're making these omissions all the time. We're looking at, okay, where is the good shot here? So I take the shot first of what I wouldn't even bother to shoot, right? I would never take this first shot, this wide shot. And then I would just get to, here's what I want it to be. And so we're doing that anyways. Really, the only extra work in this challenge was taking the wide shot to show where you might be starting from.
Right. All right, let's have a look at my alternate one, too. And my alternate one really is a poor example of this on purpose.
Okay, because I thought, again, of the same thing is that, okay, you're showing a lighting setup.
It is omission, but this one really is a weak connection. I admit I snapped this one probably half an hour after we stopped recording last week, and I was like, you know what? I just want to try this method anyways, and worst case scenario, if I get lazy, I can use it as my challenge. I had really no intention of doing it. However, I just accidentally happened to love this technique. Like, this is wicked cool, and I wanted to share it. I think I read about it somewhere online. I did not invent this. There's some Hungarian guy doing comic books that showed this to me.
Oh, I bet. I bet there is. Yeah.
Here's a shot of what was mine and now is my son's Stomper 4x4.
Okay.
And so I wanted to do a product shot, but this is a great way, a really simple way to do a product shot in your bathtub.
Okay.
So I read about this guy who shot some product stuff. Just big. You have your white bathtub. It's got like the round, like, you know, it rounds off to the background. So all I did was throw I took the center of my light disc out, so I can use it for diffusion.
Mm-hmm.
Lay it over top of the tub and fire one of the SB28s directly into it. And then you can see on the other side, I kind of hunch down. Now, it's a little difficult in my tub because I don't have access to the end because the shower's there.
Okay.
So it makes it difficult. So I had to use live view, but basically place the camera in the tub using live view focus and bam, just snap the photo. And it comes out looking like you have your own little,
portable.
Seamless.
Yeah. Or you know how they make those light tents for product photography? Like they're just, So you've basically, you created your own in the bathtub.
In the bathtub. Yeah. Without even doing anything. I mean,
I like it because what you get from this that you don't get from using a seamless white is that reflection.
Yes.
You don't get that with seamless. Yep. And so I quite like that as an element in this photo that, to me, makes it more interesting having that reflection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I felt the exact same way. And that's why I thought, wow. Like, aside from the fact that it's a little hard for me to get my camera in there, I will use this again. And I suggest anybody else who wants to do this kind of product photo, have a look at your bathtub. It's right there, and it's probably going to work wonders. It's really, really easy to do.
Yeah, when I saw it, I thought, hey, that's pretty cool. It never would have occurred to me that was a good place to do it. But you're right, for all those reasons you described, and because of the rounded corners and background, like it's a perfect place to shoot this kind of thing. So I will try it.
Use it. All right. This week's topic, like we talked about earlier, it's sort of something to do with snow. Well, it's something that happened today because it snowed here. So I set up a flash trap.
Okay.
That's the actual title, is flash trap.
What about that earlier working title we had?
Mm-hmm. We'll do, when we re-record the episode in a year from now,
okay,
and try to pass it off as original, like they did with James Bond Thunderball.
Okay.
Or and made it Never Say Never Again.
Okay.
I think it's the same movie. That's what we'll do. We'll walk out your title then.
Okay. Right. Well, it's actually you said it, so I...
Yeah, I know, but you went, that's a title. So really, it's at 50-50.
Okay.
So anyway, flash trap. So here's what happened. We've talked in a long, long time ago, like way, way back, about a focus trap.
Mm-hmm.
And how to do a focus trap. And it's a technique I use quite often, I use enough that it's constantly in my bag of tricks.
Okay.
I don't use it every day, but it's a very handy thing. So if you want to figure out what a focus trap is, go back and listen. It's like probably in one of the first 40 episodes, I bet.
And in summary, it's setting the focus to where you think the person or action or whatever you're shooting is going to wind up.
Right.
Yeah.
And leave it. Just leave it and wait for your object to walk into that trap, and bam, you got focus. Now,
so now you don't need to listen to that episode. You're all caught up. Yeah, you're all caught up.
There's more to it. So I set up a flash trap.
Okay.
Now, what happened was that the snow arrived finally, which normally I don't really care because, you know, I don't like... You don't have to shovel rain, and so that's fine. But when you have kids, your kids like the snow, right?
Sure they do.
Of course they do. So when the snow arrived, I was actually pretty happy, and you know, my kids are going to go out and play, and I wanted to get... I like getting pictures of my kids in the snow. Everybody does.
Yep.
It can be tricky, exposure-wise.
Okay.
Right? Now, we talked about it a while ago, maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I don't even know anymore. I'll try to find what episode number it was, but we talked about it. It's called Snow People, I think.
Okay.
I don't even know now. But we talked about how to shoot people in the snow, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And that's great. Now, that's awesome. But even still, it can be a little bit tricky sometimes. So I wanted to use a flash to get a really good, solid photo of my kids.
Okay.
But it's snowing outside, and they're running around, and I don't know where they're going to be, and I don't want to put the flash on the camera. What am I going to bounce it off? The snowflakes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, bounce it off the clouds like I saw somebody doing... Oh, geez, where was I? It was at night. It was at night somewhere. I was at night and watching a guy huck his... Yeah, I might have been at the Christmas market in Tubingen before Christmas, and he's hucking his flash up into the sky for no reason at all.
I'm sure you gave him some pointers.
No, I just complained to my wife, and okay. she was like, "Yeah, no, I already saw him. I was hoping you weren't going to see him." But no, I couldn't. A very expensive camera too. So yeah, this wasn't like a new guy.
That's the best part. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you got a D5 prototype, and you're doing good for you. Good job, dentist. Anyways, so I didn't want to bring the flash outside.
Okay.
Right. Kind of a pain. It gets wet. Blah blah blah. And now add to that, you want to put some modifiers on there, like a softbox or an umbrella. That is a real pain because you're not gonna waterproof those,
right?
I mean, maybe you don't have to.
Yeah, I don't worry about it, but
right, but they're gonna blow around in the rain and in the wind and the snow. You don't want that. So, luckily for me, our dining room windows overlook our backyard, and we have pretty decent sized windows.
Okay,
so the flash stays in the house.
Perfect.
Stays warm.
Yeah.
Why does that matter?
Recycle time.
Yes. Batteries. Batteries are a problem in the snow when it's cold out in general.
Yeah.
Your battery life just plummets, and it takes a long time to recycle and blah, blah, blah. So it stays inside. Great. It's nice and dry. There's no wind. So we have a winter all around. So I throw an SB28 up, put it on a quarter power. I don't have the adjustable one like you have the ETTL remotes.
Yep.
So you can actually be outside and control the flash power inside.
Yes, I could.
That's awesome.
It's what makes me better than you.
Yes. Well, no, not really. The fact that I can do it without that makes me better.
Okay, all
right. Right. But, that is very, very handy, and in the situation would be great to have that, but I don't have that. So I put it on a quarter power because, A, I know I'm going to be shooting through white curtains. We have, like, those sort of thin, not transparent, but translucent white curtains.
Okay.
So it's easy to just pull it right across. Now it's a big soft box, right?
Perfect.
So I make sure I pull the flash back far enough so that it's going to hit the whole curtain and basically, you know, make a large softbox out of this.
Okay.
So I know a quarter power is about where I want it to be, and by making it the softbox, I know I'm going to lose power, so I need a quarter, but I know that I'm not going to be lighting, like, the flash won't be my key light.
Right.
It's just, I need a little hint of it to fill in on the faces. That's all I need.
Okay.
So quarter power is right where I want to be. So that's all set up. I head outside, get all, you know, my winter stuff on. Head outside with the 40D and the 30mm lens, because I don't really care about that out in the snow if it gets, you know. It's that snow that's falling that's kind of a little bit wet.
Gotcha.
So when it's really, really nice and dry, you don't even care. Your camera's going to be fine, but I don't want to take it out and, you know, have the snow hitting it and then melting and hanging out in my camera, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go outside with the 40D and the wireless transmitter. Now I dial in the camera for proper snow exposure.
Okay.
You want to talk about that real quick? How do we do that? Shooting manually.
I think we've talked about it. You want to get the whites, in the histogram anyways, basically right towards the end of the histogram, but not, you don't want them to be, you don't want to blow all those highlights. You want to make sure that you still are keeping them from going outside of the white range.
Yes. And you're shooting raw, though, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation is definitely shoot raw, because and when you basically expose, point your camera at the snow and expose and get the exposure right dead center. That's going to give you gray snow.
Okay.
And underexposed people. Then open up two stops. Make it plus two. Now your snow is going to be about where it should be, right on that right hand side of the histogram.
Okay.
If you do go over a little bit, do not worry. You can pull that back in Lightroom.
Yeah.
But you don't want to. But if you have to, you can. You can bring it back a little bit and not be a problem. So now that's how I dialed it in. So I exposed it, which ended up being, it's an overcast day because it was still snowing. So that looked like ISO 100 because I wanted a nice F4. I didn't want everything in focus. And with the 30mm lens at like an F11, you're going to see behind you that, you know, in focus. You don't want that. So ISO 100, F4, and 1/200th of a second, which is just below the max sync speed for the 40D, which is 1/250th.
Okay.
Blam, it gave me a great ambient. All the snow was right, as you can see in the pictures I'm sharing.
Okay, I haven't seen the picture.
They're in the Dropbox. Okay. Have a look.
So this is called Flash.
Flash Trap 2 is the one we'll start with.
Okay, Flash Trap 2. Okay, I'm looking
at Flash Trap. That's my son. That was the one I shot earlier.
Okay, yeah, looks good. Good exposure. So
the snow is right there. It's not blown out, or shouldn't be on my monitor. It's not. Snow's not blown out, but it's definitely white snow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gray.
Right.
And now we add the flick of light. Now, basically, this one was me grabbing my son and placing him in the zone that the flash is going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that, like, if he plays somewhere else, this doesn't help me.
Mm-hmm.
This is the flash trap part of it. You have a nice, beautiful area of light where you're going to get this little flick of fill light. So it all has to occur in this spot. So you want to pick a spot that's going to give you a nice background and, you know, and basically it's going to be a good spot to shoot in. And hopefully be somewhat of a high traffic zone.
Right.
Which this is. But I basically put my son there and go, okay, boom, snap a shot. And the settings were dialed in. I guess I've done it enough times where I didn't have to guess at it. I didn't have to just mash buttons and hope for the best. The setting was right away.
Okay.
So I snapped this and then just let him play. and kind of wait for him. And every time he kind of hits that spot with something, you snap away, and you're going to get great shots pretty much every time.
Nice.
Just based on this flash trap.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my daughter as well. I put in there just to show. And again, like with my son, you can see a little bit more flash.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I like the one of your daughter better because it doesn't look like it's being lit. The one of your son's a perfectly good photo, but clearly looks lit.
To you. I think
to me,
you,
yeah, maybe that's just me.
To our listeners as well. Yeah. I think our listeners would pick that up.
Yeah. But the one of your daughter does not look lit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm thinking with the exact same scenario, must be lit just because of the ambient exposure in the background. But certainly you could sort of say, oh yeah, there's a bit of fill bouncing in off of, you know, a white wall nearby or something. So it doesn't necessarily have to be. So it looks perfectly natural is what I'm saying.
Right. No, yeah. I like that one better. But now what we talked about is let's say you do have the, just the simple remotes like I have. The cyber sinks, which you can't control the flash. So, like, you know, with my sons, you might say, all right, maybe I'll dial it down a third or two-thirds of a stop just to take a little, you know, a little bit of that light off of him.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't.
Right.
You're outside. You can't dial it down. You're not going to run in and outside.
Correct. Right? Yeah.
Now, your light outside is consistent. Like, because it's overcast, nothing's changing, you know, from minute to minute. So now that's an advantage that you have.
Right.
So first step, now let's say you want to bring a little more flash onto your subject.
Right.
You go from your F4, open it up to 2.8.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you're going to get a lot more flash is going to hit him.
Correct.
A lot more ambient is also going to hit him. Twice as much ambient, as a matter of fact.
Correct.
So now, all of a sudden, you get a problem. Well, you now have to correct.
Right. You need shutter. You need a faster shutter speed.
You best stop down. Now, in this case, I was already at 1/200th, so I can't stop down three clicks because I'm past the maximum. But had I left it at, let's say, 1/100th of a second, if that's where I had started.
Right. Then you'd have wiggle room.
Right. And I could click down to 1/200th. So I'd open up to 2.8, stop down to 1/200th of a second, and my ambient exposure is going to be exactly the same. The only difference being I'm going to get twice as much flash hitting my subject.
Correct.
If I even stop down even further to 1/250th, I'm going to cut some of the ambient light, and now it'll be more of a spotlight effect. I'm still going to get twice as much flash, but now less ambient.
Right.
So consequently, if I go the other way, wrap it up, that's the kind of thing you can control. Now, the other way, now let's say you want less flash. You're at F4, you want less flash on your subject.
5.6.
F5.6, you're going to cut the flash in half.
Yeah.
And compensate by either opening up to, you know, 1/50th of a second. Well, no, that's what you're going to do exactly. you're not going to mess with the ISO because that will also increase the flash.
Right.
So you're now going to open up, count this again, counting clicks, a third episode we're referencing today.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for you to reference that.
I forgot that we...
I was about to say, and now you can listen to the counting clicks episode if you're unfamiliar with this technique.
I recommend the counting clicks one to everybody, actually. Yeah. That's such a... Like, not just the episode, the technique in general. It's such a handy
And for those people, you know, in the audience that may have listened to it but aren't actually doing this actively, it is by far the best way to save time when you're trying to, you know, work around, you know, things like kids that, you know, you got to make these adjustments on the fly and you might miss the shot if it takes you too long to kind of make these adjustments. But it's the biggest time saver, I think, that you've ever taught me in any of the episodes to this point. So we're 263 deep and time saving every day on the go photography usage. That's the best tip you've ever given me is the counting clicks.
On top of that, mastering that technique and the concept behind it will strengthen your knowledge of how light behaves and how the camera captures light. Like the relationship between aperture and shutter speed and all that, it becomes so solid once you start learning how to count clicks that everything else honestly becomes a lot clearer when you go to take photos.
Yeah, and I 100% agree. And we were talking about, I was giving a friend some kind of photo tips, and we were just kind of, you know, playing around in the living room with his new camera. And that was something that I know was probably a little bit beyond his scope at that point. And he was, you know, listening to the aperture and the ISO episodes, and he was just trying to get a handle on AV mode. And I was basically jumping ahead and say, one thing you should really kind of understand is the whole idea that the clicks are meaningful. They're in increments. That is super handy if you understand that, you know, one click on the aperture dial is equal to a click in the shutter speed department. And just kind of recognizing that fact, because I mean, I had been making these adjustments and I understood photography pretty well as far as the exposure triangle before you gave me that tip. And then that once you gave me that tip, it was like off to the races. Like, oh my gosh, it just speeds everything up. So, and I think I at one point talked to, you know, a very experienced photographer. I think it was Dwayne Gervin, who's, you know, he's been a professional doing professional photography work for a long time, and he'd said that he had never sort of heard it in those terms, and just, you know, how helpful that was, just kind of recognizing that those are in exact increments, not some somewhere in the ballpark, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And what I like is the fact that, like, all these sort of things, like the fact that we referenced three different episodes today, these all come together in the technique of setting up a flash trap in the snow. Something very, 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 very non-specific.
We'll be coming back to this episode in episode 384 to say how meaningful that the flash trap episode was. So make sure you listen to this one.
How many snow flash traps do you think I set up in a year? One?
Yeah, maybe two.
If that, you know, like I might do this again if our friend's kids come over, but probably not because I don't really like them. So I don't really care if I get their picture.
Right.
Like, they can just get a point and shoot with my, you know, or like a snapshot with my iPhone. I don't care. Yes, I don't even have an iPhone. That's how much I don't care.
Yeah.
So I do this almost never, except for, like, Louis C.K. says, you know what? I never do drugs. I just don't do drugs.
Right.
So that when I do, it's awesome.
Right.
That's in his latest special. But that this is the thing, is I never, ever, ever do a flash trap in the snow. But when I do, I want it to be bang on. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. So counting clicks really comes into play. Now, if for you, I mean, I don't think you would bother counting clicks. I think you would just jump into the menu and, you know, ratchet up the flash, you know, up a stop, down a stop.
That's kind of what I do because I can, right?
I would. Yeah. I'm not saying that, oh, no, it's the always better. I just don't have that.
Yeah.
So
and
I
you don't need it. Like you say, no. There's a workaround here. Now, sometimes, like you pointed out, sometimes you're kind of stuck because you can't make any more adjustments one way or the other. And so there's a bit more potential for compromise involved in this method. But I'm going to say 9.5 times out of 10, you're going to get exactly what you want doing it this way.
I knew generally, I mean, for the most part, I knew I wasn't going to need to go too far over or under. I knew I was going to be right in the zone. And I mean, I couldn't go much less. Like, I need a quarter power was pretty much the minimum I was going to be able to get away with.
Right.
And any less, it just wouldn't have made it. It wouldn't have put a dent in the exposure.
Right.
Any higher, my recycle time wouldn't be very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I was going to set it to a quarter and basically work around that no matter what. So even if I could change it from outside, I couldn't.
Right.
So there you go. That's it. Now,
flash trap, man. Flash trap.
But this is the thing: is I thought about it after, and it turns out I didn't invent the flash trap either. I mean, I did in the sense that I invented it, like I invented the Brennizer method.
Right.
I did this without knowing it.
You named it. You named it.
Oh, I don't even know if I named it. I invented it after somebody already invented it, but without my knowledge.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that. Whoever could take credit for this is potentially, you know, taking credit for something that they didn't invent either, because I think I could make the claim that I've put a flash on a light stand somewhere and coaxed my kids to get near it, and then that would be considered a flash trap.
Right, but what I understand what some people are doing, Again, I think I might have read this. I forget what I read now. And but I'm pretty sure some guy was doing this and shooting like foxes and hounds and ladies and tramps. I don't know, something like that. But they were shooting wildlife, like out, not at the zoo, but like out in the wilderness and just sitting and waiting.
Right.
Until, or maybe putting it on an automatic, some sort of a motion sensor on a tripod. I don't know what they're doing. But they're basically setting up a flash trap for these animals to show up in and get their picture taken without them knowing.
Right. Gotcha. So, I've done it with street hockey. I've set it up around the street hockey environment where my dad and kids and everyone's playing street hockey. Set up a flash on either side in with umbrellas and then just kind of wait till they get in front of the net, take a shot, and boom, right. Flash trap.
So there you go. So this episode's called Adam's Flash Trap.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure I made it up.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Comes in handy, though, in this case. Now, point being is you don't have to do it in your window if you don't want to. For me, it's great. It works out really great. Like, it's just, I wouldn't do it any other way for this situation. But you can go out in the woods and do it. You could do it anywhere you want, as long as you protect your, you know, throw a plastic bag over it if you're out in the snow, something like that. And just sit and wait.
Okay.
Do it.
I will.
There you go. So this week's challenge, next week's challenge, isn't that. It isn't doing a flash trap, because I don't think you're going to, you might not get snow.
Yeah, I probably won't.
And so I don't want to put you in a position where you have to shoot a snow flash trap in during the El Nino.
Okay.
That's the kind of guy I am.
Okay.
So, This week's challenge is going to be what we're going to talk about next week, but it's going to be a flat background.
Flat background.
Meaning like a shallow background in your image.
Hmm.
That makes sense?
Sure.
All right. Shoot your subject up against the wall. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
And we'll talk all about that next week.
Okay. All right.
All right. Adam.
Yeah.
Where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca and Two Hosers Facebook. I'll probably post some other photos that I took of the kids at the playground last week at some point, just to show off a few other nice pictures that were just done casually with no lighting whatsoever, just ambient natural light. Put yourself in a good position. Photos.
That's the takeaway. If you're a hobbyist, you want to shoot pictures of your kids and, you know, your family and friends and their kids and stuff like that, that's what you want to be good at, I think.
Yes, I agree.
Because in terms of return on investment, it takes very little effort when you're out there. You're not hauling lights around, setting up backgrounds, doing green screen like for your kids' hockey team and all that stuff. You're out there having fun, and every once in a while snapping off a photo, and the pictures come back, and everyone's excited. Like, oh my God, he's a professional, you know? Yeah.
And I had, we were at the playground and we came across another family. This is the last little tidbit I'll drop on you that goes along with what the point you were saying. Had a family that, you know, I know well from, goes to my kid's school, and I know the parents and their kids, and they're at the playground kind of playing, and they saw, oh, hi, Sarah and Jack, and they're playing. And then I was chatting with the parents, and then just before we're going to leave, I'm like, hey, you guys want a family photo? They know, obviously, I'm holding my camera in my hand, and they know that I do photography, you know, as a hobby and whatnot. And so they said, oh, yeah, sure. And so I just said, okay. And so again, busy playground, lots of people. I said, stand over here, you know, piece of equipment I propped one kid up on, and then stood the parents side by side, and took all of, I don't know, 15 seconds and snapped two photos just to make sure, hopefully, that everyone's looking. Because, and of course, when I got home and looked at them, one of the kids was looking off to the side on one of them. So I'm glad I took two and sent them the photo. And it was a really nice family photo and done in 15 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. And they're always like, wow, like great photo and did not take a lot of time. Used to, you know, thinking that this sort of thing would require a fancy, elaborate studio and
6-month appointment.
Yeah, all of that, and just be like, no, this takes 10 seconds if you know where to start and where to put them, and, you know, not in the super contrasty light. And I took them to the shade, and again, I put them somewhere where it was, the background wasn't going to be too distracting, and then done. And
yeah.
That's the thing that comes with the reps.
It would have been great if when they said to you, wow, that didn't take long at all, you just angrily shouted, counting clicks, and stormed out of the room.
Yeah,
Yeah. Wow, that got aggressive quickly. That escalated. I don't understand why he escalated it, Marge.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes.
There you go. So that's the beauty of listening to this podcast is that maybe you'll learn something like eventually. I have, and then you'll be able to impress your friends. That's what
only
it's
took
all
5 years.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, impressing your friends.
It isn't. It's not about impressing your friends. It's about making them feel inadequate.
That's true. Yeah, it's kind of a combination of you feel like you're impressing them, but really you care more about the fact that they're hanging their heads. Yeah,
we have a name for that.
What's that?
Facebook.
Yeah.
You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything that we just talked about, links and stuff like that. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.